folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is Wednesday, 24 August, 2022. Welcome to today's broadcast. As usual, I'm filling in from Elder Seastrom. This is Financial Survival. We're going to discuss some health issues with Wendy Wilson in a couple minutes, but first, I always like to go to the metals and the markets first, as usual. But welcome to the broadcast today, and I do mean that. I hope you'll stay tuned for what's Wendy got. Wendy got to share some very important news with you folks, and I have a lot of news headlines to share with you also. But let's go right to the metals. Gold had a plus day today. Not hugely, but had a plus day. Up 260 to 1758.05. Silver was down a penny to 1930. Platinum was down 530 to 8971.75. Palladium was up 47.70 to 2090.75. Metals are still struggling, folks, but they're starting to gain some ground, I think, as gold and platinum are starting to move up a little bit. I think they all will eventually. As far as the markets go, well, Dow Jones was up slightly, 70.87 to 32,980. NASDAQ was up 78.40 to 12,459. S&P was up 17.71 to 4,146. The European markets, well, the FTSE was down. DAX was up 25.83 to 13,220. The FTSE was down 16.60 to 74.71. And Hang Seng was down 245.20 to 19,253. Nikkei was down 139.28 to 28,313. So the markets were mixed, to say the least, in Europe and Asia. The USDX, yeah, the dollar is still doing well, folks. 108.69, up 0.06. The dollar is still strong. That's why metals are struggling, but the dollar is still strong. The 10-year yield was 3.111, up 0.057. Oil was up $1.30 to 95.04. So we're seeing, again, basically a mixed bag of everything here going on. It's just a matter of time, of course, that we see the dollar losing value. I know it's just a matter of time. I just told him what's going to happen, but we need to prepare ourselves, folks, while we can. And Wendy Wilson is going to share some ideas and prepare yourself for what's coming in this country, because as you're going to hear in a little bit in the news, I'm going to share, we are in for some tough times ahead with something as something we always take for granted, food on the table. Wendy, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Good to be with you.
It is good to have you. Come on in and join us.
I shall. You know, it's really hard to get people in this mode of, you know, prepping. And you probably know this. There's a passage in Scripture that says a wise man sees trouble coming. And what does he do?
He prepares himself.
He prepares himself. So a lot of people can sustain when there's a temporary shortage of water and food and power. Usually that happens with weather. You know, you get conditions like hurricanes and stuff, and usually within 2 weeks people begin to kind of lose their patience if the government agencies haven't been efficient enough in delivering some relief in those areas. And do you remember Hurricane Hugo, Pastor Butch? Remember
that?
Oh
yeah, I sure do. Yes, I
do. Okay. Yeah, I do too. So Hurricane Hugo, 1989. It took out power for weeks in our area here in North Carolina. That was a Category 4 hurricane, and it reached nearly 400 miles inland, which I was astonished. Now, in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, bags of ice were $20, and you couldn't find any charcoal briquettes if you wanted to cook on your grill. There were no hot showers, no hot meals, no hot coffee, and people were cranky, you know? So now we're, you know, reading some reports here now lately in scientific journals that are predicting severe shortages in a lot of sectors, making the fallout from Hugo look like no big deal. So I thought we'd cover it. This is a Columbia University study. It was published in the journal, April Journal of Patterns, and they looked at 70 years of historic data on weather and energy droughts, and they coined the term energy droughts, and you're going to understand in a minute. They took into account solar power and wind turbine power sources, and they came up with a network scale for droughts. And when a state with a renewable energy source, you know, if they fall below a certain target threshold, that's a problem, according to the university scientists. These droughts of water and energy are going to be a problem moving forward. Their program discovered that if there's usually a third of all days during the year that are low production days. And they were looking at the state of Texas because it's a big renewable energy state. And they predict they're going to have a severe energy drought that will last 4 months straight. That's a long time. Now, they said battery systems aren't going to last long enough to sustain them, and solar energy sources could pick up and compensate a little bit, but that's even going to be an eight-month-long ordeal for the solar areas. According to the report, this is Professor Lal at Columbia University Engineering Climate School. He said designers of renewable energy systems need to pay attention to changing weather patterns over weeks, months, and years. In other words, you're going to need more batteries. So you're not going to have enough batteries. Now, Texas uses a lot of energy. It's the fifth largest wind and solar power electricity source state. And the grid in Texas is as big as a grid in many other countries. So they're charting the 70 years of wind and solar power data. And it showed there will be a network scale drought when the renewable energy falls below the target threshold and Texas is thrown into an energy drought for straight 4 months. They said the solar and wind sources are highly variable, like rainfall. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to predict. And they did coin the term energy droughts, since a 10-year cycle with as much variation from this long-term average would be seen as a major drought. So that's why they coined it that way. Now, Professor Lyles chose Texas because it gets a lot of sun and wind in that state, but the research is showing that the percentiles are not being met on a regular basis, so droughts would last even a year in some places with wind and solar power alternatives. So he's really sounding the alarm for people. We're just not going to have enough. Renewable energy sources have a storage problem, according to him. He goes on to say, in times of low rainfall, water managers will keep fresh water flowing through your pipes by tapping municipal reservoirs and underground aquifers. The wind and solar systems do not have that equivalent backup. And he's right about that. Now, the batteries, you know, you've got solar panels, Pastor Butch, so your batteries.
I do.
Yeah, they, according to the university research, they say they can last a few days to a few hours to a few days, depending on what you got. And this would not really help Texas or any other state go through an extended drought. And Professor Lyle is saying a bigger network's not going to solve this problem. And, you know, because when your electricity grids, these guys shoot for 99.99% reliability, and the water managers 90% reliability. So he says seasonal forecasts are a challenge for the renewable energy industry, and all this plays into the rise and fall of energy pricing. Now, we're going to talk about some droughts now in water areas. Now, I reported this, Pastor Butch, in 2015. I reported on a lot of countermeasures being taken due to drought conditions in the western part of our nation. They were reporting at the time in 2015 there was a vital loss of water in some major lakes like Lake Mead and Lake Powell. Now, Lake Powell, which was created when Glen Canyon Dam was built and is now has a 100-foot bathtub ring where the water level used to be. Now, according to the Colorado River Report, Lake Mead is now today worse than 7 years ago, worse than 2015. The water is now low at Lake Powell, and the water is being held back, though, so the dam can still operate and generate power. So it's really a precarious situation there. Experts are reporting that the lake has lost 50% of its capacity, and this is a significant drop. 40 million people in seven states use this water. Millions of people, Pastor Butch, of the southwest of the United States have a serious water issue looming. And importing water is going to be expensive because they use a lot of that water for crop growth, and then your crops won't be affordable either. So whether it's a sustainable source, humans have to have water, so we do have a water supply problem. Now, several experts have said this. The average human being, you can live 3 months without – I'm sorry, you can live 3 minutes without oxygen. In winter environments, you can survive 3 hours without warm shelter. and you can survive 3 weeks without food and 3 days without water. And that's the average. There are some exceptions. So our bodies need water to moisten mucous membranes, to make saliva, to help your cells to grow and regenerate, to flush out waste material through the urine and bowel area, lubricate your joints, help regulate body temperature, convert food compounds into digestive processes, and help to deliver oxygen throughout your body through the blood system, which, by the way, is mostly made up of water. And your brain needs water to manufacture neurotransmitters. So water is kind of important. So let's get to the aquifers that we have in the United States. Our land depends on these aquifers. They're the lifeblood of the United States. And there are 10 regional aquifers throughout the United States, and some are made up of several smaller aquifers. But the largest is the Ocala Aquifer, located in the central part of the United States. It's one of the world's largest. The Okanagan Aquifer is also called High Plains Aquifer because it lies beneath 8 states: Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, South Dakota, and Wyoming. So the High Plains Aquifer spans 174,000 square miles, with most of it under the state of Nebraska. Now, this aquifer is named after the southern western Nebraskan town, Ocala. And in the 1940s, after World War II, guess what they did, Pastor Butch? They installed pumps, and they withdrew water at a three to one rate, and that doesn't recharge the aquifer. So the aquifer supply is, they're pumping out 30% of the groundwater for irrigation purposes alone. And approximately 2.3 million people drink from this aquifer. So experts are estimating it's going to go dry by 2028. That's not far away.
No, it's not.
No. So today the aquifer is being depleted, according to, this is Scientific American. It's being depleted at an annual volume equivalent to 18 Colorado rivers. Although precipitation and river systems are recharging a few parts of the aquifer in the northern area, in most places, nature can't keep up with the human demands, and eventually the nation is going to have a strategy to end the dependence on this finite source. And not many people seem to be heeding this warning, and there's a reason for that, Pastor Butch. Do you know what the reason is?
What's the reason?
The reason was in a conversation journal, the government's paying farmers to drain this aquifer. I was like, what? Yep, they're draining it, for crop growth. But here's how it works. This is what the Conversation Journal said. They said, we have a slow-moving crisis on our hands. Across much of the High Plains, it's business as usual, drilling and pumping water, irrigating and growing crops, as if the Ocala Aquifer era will never end. Between 1900 and 2008, they drained some 89 trillion gallons from this aquifer, equivalent to two-thirds of Lake Erie. At our research, they said, we focused on social and legal aspects of water use in agricultural communities, and it's showing that farmers are draining the aquifer because of state and federal policies that are encouraging them to do so. They said the crop reports are hiding this massive government payment system to farmers through what is called federal subsidies. They've increased by 65% in 2020 alone, totaling $37.2 billion. This sum includes money for lost exports from escalating trade wars, as well as the COVID-19 related relief payments. They say that the research finds that these subsidies are putting farmers on this treadmill, working them harder to produce more food while draining the resources that supports their livelihood. So government payments are creating this vicious cycle of overproduction that intensifies water use, and subsidies encourage farmers to expand and buy expensive equipment to irrigate larger areas. So we're in a pickle. We really are. And I see where this is going. This is also from The Economist magazine. They say water is the oil of the 21st century. Andrew Laveris, CEO of Dow Chemical, said that.
Well,
do you understand?
I do understand. Yeah. Many years ago, they warned us they're going to start charging us for water. Even now, you own wells. They're going to, and now we're starting metering some wells. But you probably know who Deborah Tavares is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She talks about the primary water source that they haven't even talked about that hasn't been tapped yet. That is under the earth, under the ground. There's plenty of it there, but they haven't tapped it because they want to control the water supply in order to control the people.
Right. Well, you know, and that's just it, you know, and who's going to allow us to go tap it? You know, we're not going to be able to. I mean, they don't even want you taking rainwater off your roof or melting snow on your land. They just get all, they got all these, you know, laws about that stuff. But, you know, there's going to be a water cartel. That's what I'm thinking. They're going to have.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, when a hurricane report rolls through, severe weather and stuff, and people are worried they're not going to have any water, and people, you know, rush to the store and buy all this bottled water. And I was at the grocery store watching these people just heap all these containers of water in their cart. And I'm like, what are you doing that for? And they go, well, there's a storm coming. We want water to bathe in, to flush toilets and stuff. I'm like, that's expensive what you're doing there. I said, why don't you just go get these large containers at Lowe's and open up your garden hose and fill them up? Why are you buying all that? And they looked at me like, oh, I never thought of that.
I mean, that's sad, isn't it? You know, I remember when I was a boy that the ladies would want to wash the hair in rainwater caught in the barrel off the house because they said rainwater was softer than the water that get out of the well and made your hair look better. Now, that's the truth. And I remember we took, we had families who just took the water out of the barrels and put it in heat and took a bath in it. That's what they done.
Right. Well, okay, when our settlers forged the West and they're going across in wagons, they had rain barrels or water barrels, and they put a silver dollar in the barrel to keep the water from going bad. Keep the bacteria out. So people start, they got to start preparing for stuff. Really, they need to. This is kind of, we're at the 11th hour, in my opinion. They need to really pay attention. And like having food sources, water sources, you may need backup medicines, and that's what we're here for. So people can call us at Apothecary Herbs to get a catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com if you want to check us out online. And, you know, be proactive. Have something, and, you know, it's worse to have something that it's better to have it and not need it and not have it and need it.
That's exactly right. Very well done, Wendy. Very well done as usual. Thank you for joining us.
You're so welcome.
I mean, your information is always right on time. And, folks, she's telling the truth. Prepare yourself. I promise you, hard times are ahead, and it's not forever in the future. And, Wendy Wilson, I will see you next Wednesday, Lord willing.
Okay, take care now.
Okay, have a good one. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, a lot more to talk about. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Of course, on Wednesday, I do fill in for Melody Cedarstrom. I can't do her job as well as she does, but I do what I can. And you are listening to Financial Survival, and Melody's phone number to call and talk to her if you would like to about preparing yourself financially is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Got a lot of news to share, so I'm going to start with an article here I think you'll find interesting. The World Economic Forum is playing a bigger and bigger role in our futures. Whether we like it or not, folks, they are starting to control our futures. I already told you that the Klaus Schwab advisor, Harari, said that you're obsolete. You're useless. You're people. You're redundant. They're not going to need you and me. Well, this is what they come up with now. Top WEF advisor says humans will wear biometric sensors being constantly monitored by Chinese government, Facebook, and Google. I'm not making up. This is what the article says. It'll be, by the way, if you all like to receive a Minute Man magazine for free via email, we put it out every month. This article will be in the Minute Man magazine. If you want to receive it, you just email me to pastorbutch@startmail.com. pastorbutch@start, like you start a car, startmail.com. And I'll be glad to add you to the newsletter list. It's totally free. You receive September's magazine, and you'll see this article in here. A top advisor to the World Economic Forum says humans will soon wear biometric sensors so that to every move and bodily function, repeat that, every move and bodily function can be constantly monitored by big tech and the Chinese government. The comments are just the latest from the Israeli WEF advisor to raise serious eyebrows. Recently, he publicly proclaimed that the global elite don't need the vast majority of the population even to be alive, mocking humanity as an unintelligent and worthless. On another occasion, the same WEF advisor pondered how to keep useless people occupied after they're replaced by AI, suggesting they be quelled with drugs and video games. World Economic Forum advisor Yuval Noah Harari, who is an Israeli citizen and professor of world history at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, has become known for his anti-human stances as the shadowy WEF continues to take a more visible role on the world stage. Led by Klaus Schwab, the son of a major Third Reich industrialist, the WEF publicity promotes political candidates that they say will capture elected offices on their behalf, including the United States, for the purpose of advancing their Orwellian policies. Very soon, people will walk around with biometric sensors on or even inside their bodies and will allow Google or Facebook or the Chinese government or whomever to constantly monitor what happens inside their body. Harari's push for biometric sensors monitored by the global left-wing governments and big tech corporations echoes other statements he's made throughout the years. I ain't making this up, folks. This is for real stuff. That is for real. That is being discussed. They're going to brand you like a cow. Oh, yeah. Why do you think they're going to control your water supply, your food supply, your heat supply, your electricity? Why do you think they're doing that? Because they're running out of it? No. Because it's called control. I'm going to read to you what most of us know, while a lot of people don't bother to get married but have babies anyway. There's money paid to you by the taxpayers of this country, that's you and I, if you decide to raise children without benefit of marriage. Marriage tax, destruction of the American family, absolutely is designed for a guy and his girlfriend with two kids. All you have to do is follow these proven steps. Don't marry her. Always use your mom's address to get your email. Now, folks, this is for real stuff. The guy buys a house. The guy rents out the house to his girlfriend with his two kids. Section 8 will pay $900 a month for a three-bedroom home. Girlfriend signs up for Obamacare, so the guy doesn't have to pay for the family insurance. Girlfriend gets to go to college for free for being a single mother. Girlfriend gets $600 a month for food stamps. Girlfriend gets a free cell phone. Girlfriend gets free utilities. The guy moves into the home and continues to use mom's address for his email. Girlfriend claims one kid and guy claims the other kid for the tax forms. Now both get to claim the head of household at $1,800 credit. Girlfriend gets $1,800 a month disability for having a bad back and never has to go to work again. The plan is perfectly legal and is being executed by millions of people. A married couple with a stay-at-home mom yields $0. An unmarried couple with a stay-at-home mom gets $21,600 disability, plus $10,800 free housing, plus $6,000 free Obamacare, plus $7,200 free food, plus $4,800 free utilities, plus $6,000 Pell Grant money to spend, plus $12,000 a year in college tuition free from Pell Grant, plus $8,800 tax benefit for being a single mother, equals $77,200 a year in benefits. And any idea where our country is over $30 trillion in debt and half the population sitting around letting the other half pay their way? Think about that, folks. Over $77,000 a year and doing nothing for it. Our government funds fornication and adultery. I say they fund it. Actually, you and I do. How do you like that? Interesting, isn't it? More interesting. It's just the way it is. The layoff tsunami has begun. 50% of U.S. companies plan to eliminate jobs within the next 12 months. Folks, I'm telling you, you think it's tough now. It's going to be a lot tougher in the very near future, I promise you. The firms in the entire country really do cut jobs over the next year. What will economy look like afterwards? All over America, companies are anticipating that a major economic downturn is coming in 2023, and a lot of them are already planning to shed workers in order to cut costs. Of course, this sounds so much like what we went through back in 2008 and 2009. Millions of Americans lost their jobs during the Great Recession, and it was truly a very dark time in our history. So are we on the verge of seeing a repeat? Let's hope that isn't the case. Unfortunately, a brand new survey that was just released has discovered that 50% of all U.S. companies plan to eliminate jobs within the next 12 months. This comes from CNBC. Meanwhile, 50% of firms are anticipating a reduction in overall headcount, while 52% foresee initiating a hiring freeze and 44% rescinding jobs offers, according to PwC survey of 722 U.S. executives filled in early August. These are executives' expectations for the next 6 months to a year, and therefore may involve, according to Bhushan Sethi, so-called PwC's Global People and Organization Group. So, folks, no matter how you cut it, if only 25% decide to cut, lay off and cut, that's going to affect a lot of people. And you know that. That means me and you. It means us and how we eat, how we take care of our families. And for those who got to work at home, well, things are going to change for you real soon, too. You may be soon asked to take a pay cut to keep working from home. Working from home during the pandemic became a surprising success. Many workers enjoyed a better quality of life, plus savings on commuting, office wardrobe, and other expenses. Companies boosted productivity and lower costs. Now, as remote work looks likely to survive in some form for the foreseeable future, a battle is starting to brew over who should pocket those savings, with some employers arguing that working from home is a benefit that should be offset by lower salaries. With the pandemic easing, more companies are calling workers back to the office. Even so, about 30% of all paid work days are still being done from home, up from just 5% before the COVID-19 outbreak, according to the Working From Home Research Project. Paying remote workers less is a practice that is already catching on abroad. In Britain, the law firm Stevenson Harwood recently announced that the employees could work full time from home on the condition that they take a 20% pay cut. Right now, such arrangements seem rare in the U.S., probably because of the tight labor market. but that could change in the event of a recession, as employees eye how remote working can lower their labor costs and boost the bottom line. And folks, that makes sense. Why not? I mean, yeah, it'll save you commuting probably 10-15% a year at least on what you spend on clothes, on gasoline and different things. But they're going to ask you to take 20% pay cut to stay at home. And you got to make a decision about that, because I promise you, folks, if they start laying people off as you're talking about doing, letting employees go, your job could be a really precious commodity. So what you going to do? And this, I think most of us know already. I sure felt it. The average U.S. household pays 47%, almost 50% more for electricity than a year ago. On June 2nd, the Dallas Morning News reported, we're in trouble. Electric rates in Texas have surged over 70% as summer kicks in. Wow, over 70% increase in Texas. The price of natural gas has increased even more than crude oil, but many consumers may not have noticed. They will soon enough in higher electric bills. How much higher? Over 70% higher than a year ago for residential customers in Texas. Competitive market, according to the latest rate plans offered on the state's Power to Choose website. This month, the average residential rate listed on the site was 18.48 cents per kilowatt hour. That's up from 10.5 cents in June 2021, according to data provided by the Association of Electric Companies of Texas. For a family using 1,000 kilowatt electricity a month, that translates into a monthly increase of roughly $80. We've never seen prices this high, said Tim Morstad, Associate State Director for the AARP Texas. There's going to be some real sticker shock here. The Dallas Morning News posted a chart, but some of the data was stale as of April. The BLS discontinued Los Angeles and Chicago is not available monthly. But the average U.S. household pays a whopping, well, let's say about 50% increase in some places others, even more than that. So I don't know how much more people can tolerate and keep their head above water. I really don't know, and I don't even want to venture a guess on that. I know, again, with myself personally, I don't mind sharing my personal information. It's getting a little tougher. I'm basically retired. I've worked for years and years and years, and I worked hard to get ahead. Thank God I did. Thank goodness I have planned ahead, paid off the house, and I'm not in debt. I have two cars, and not new ones. One of them's 12 years old, one's 7 years old, but they both run. I'm trying to hang on to them. So we planned ahead, and we're not behind, but it's getting harder to keep up. Now, as I mentioned to Wendy in the last segment, near total crop losses ravaging U.S. agriculture. South Carolina farmers should sound the alarm on the tragic harvest season. Folks, this is not the Midwest and West. It's in the Southeast. Farms in the southeastern United States are suffering from crop failures that are ravaging agricultural productivity in one of the most traditionally fertile areas of the nation. Beginning with an unexpected spring freeze, followed by chillier than expected May and an accommodating drought, utterly massive crop failures of peaches, watermelons, and blueberries have devastated local growers, trickling down the economy to the restaurants, breweries, distillers, and markets that depend on the produce, according to Post and Courier. Emery Tumelson, who operates at the 18-year-old 10-acre Champlain's blueberry farm with her parents, told the outlet they lost about 85% of their three types of blueberries following the freeze and another 5-10% after the drought. So they lost 99% of the crop, folks. Compounded to that freeze was a lack of rain. So we just got it from two sides this year, Tumelson said. It was taking me over an hour to pick a bucket, which is unheard of. In the middle of March, temperatures in South Carolina plunged down to a frigid 19 degrees in some areas, according to Clemson University, as reported by the Courier. Champlain's farm was forced to shut down for season after just 4 days. The season is normally 4 to 6 weeks. The Branford family farm in Sumter, South Carolina, had a much different problem, too much rain. Owner Nat Bradford suffered the first full crop loss of his farm's history after 2 weeks of heavy rainfall choked out the rare heirloom Bradford breed of watermelon, prized for its sweetness. Let me repeat that again, folks. Owner Nat Bradford suffered the first full crop loss of his farm's history. The whole crop was lost. The Bradford watermelon dates back to the late 1850s. Cook's farm owner, Larry Cook, reported that his 75-acre farm near Trenton, South Carolina, suffered a 30-40% of its peach harvest. The loss of 30 to 40% of the peach crop. The same summer, deluge that choked out Bradford's melons left the peach of Cook's farm dropping from disease. Do you think food price would decrease anytime soon? Completing this poll entitles you to, anyway, I'm going to start, that's an advertisement. What affected the peach crop this year was the cold weather, Watson told reporters. We have very few peaches in the months of May and June. It was even worse for Schuller Peach Company and Elliott Schuller in Ridgeville, South Carolina, where a 70% crop loss devastated 2022 harvest. After a 23-degree night in the spring, it appeared that some of Schuller's peaches had survived unscathed, only for the superficially healthy peaches to reveal shattered pits within. A lot of people that bought the peaches probably knows they shattered pits, Schuller explained. That's cold damage that came from the freeze. Similar crop failures occurring in the United Kingdom provide a window into what Americans might expect if these failures continue. The National Farmers Union are telling shoppers to be prepared to buy wonky produce due to the large impact the drought has had on the shape and size of crops, the Daily Mail reported. One farmer in Norfolk, England, was left with no alternative but to give away over 140,000 onions. That's about 40 tons of onions just to prevent them from going to waste after high temperatures. A mildew wiped out 40% of the crop and prevented him from storing healthy onions. According to leaked documents obtained by another UK news outlet, The Guardian, some crops have been left inedible. The National Drought Group allegedly estimates that onion, carrot, and potato crops could see failure rates up to 50% across the Atlantic. Wow. Well, how do you add to that? What do you say? It's happening. I know you have to see it where you are, too. Maybe not in great amounts yet of shortages of different things and food prices going out the window. Maybe you're just seeing little things now, but if this continues, you heard about the fruit crops, the peaches and the blueberries and the watermelons. All this is going to increase in price, obviously, because the shortages are there. And I don't know for sure what can people do to take their place. In a little bit, we're going to actually discuss what the two North American companies, one in Canada, one in the U.S., is already producing tons of crickets to supplement their food supplies. I don't know whether they're good for you or bad for you. I know in the Bible it talks about John the Baptist eating locusts. Yeah, I'm talking real locusts, grasshoppers, locusts. What that means, I have no idea as far as what it means for us. But, folks, it's going to get hard, really hard, and I mean soon. Right after the break. Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, again, we're back. This is Pastor Butch Paul, filling up Melody Seastrom Day on Wednesday, as usual. Our number again is 800-375-4188, and now is the time to buy some metals. Gold is the stable one. I mean, as far as being constant, silver is good. I like silver. But the prices are down. We can maybe afford some now. You better do it while you can. And I want to just share with you an article of the arrogance. I mean, Marie Antoinette told the people that I supposed to say, let them eat cake. I would let the peasants get by with what they can. Well, this is the way the elite are feeling now. Biden transition energy czar tells poor people to buy solar panels. Now, they tell poor people to buy solar panels. Once again, showing how completely out of touch with reality they are, the Biden administration energy secretary has suggested Americans facing hardship as the cost of living spiral should buy solar panels. Have you ever priced solar? It's not cheap. And solar can never run your home the way you run it right now. No, it couldn't. You couldn't afford to buy enough panels. You could probably not enough property to set them on to do it and to afford the battery pack and keep the battery pack current because they don't last forever. You couldn't afford it. Appearing on Fox News, Jennifer Granholm touted so-called green initiatives under the Orwellian title Inflation Reduction Tax. Now, folks, that's already law now. That's already law. Oh, you're going to see things come out of that you're not going to believe. If you are low income, you can get your home entirely weatherized through the expansion from the bipartisan infrastructure laws, a significant expansion. You don't have to pay for anything, she claimed, adding, if you want heat pumps, insulation, new windows, that is covered. They said bipartisan. I don't think so. 50-50 in the Senate. But anyway, she then advised lower middle class Americans to take our credit to get solar panels. Take out credit, folks. So go borrow the money. If you're a moderate income today, you can get 30% off the price of solar panels. Those solar panels can be financed so you don't have to have the big outlay up front, Granholm stated. She continued, if you don't qualify for the weatherization program, you'll be able to, starting next year, get rebates on the appliances and equipment that will help you reduce your monthly energy bill up to 30%. This is all about reducing costs for people. She talks like you can go out and finance these solar panels and you can cover the payments no problem. Yeah, no big deal. Just finance it. Add on a couple $100 a month to your expenses. No big deal, right? Just go ahead and do it. I have got a few solar panels in my home. And they're capable of doing a few things, but not nearly enough to sustain our way of living. Not even close. And to rub salt into the wound, I guess, in California, as usual. Bless California's hearts. I don't know why they stay there. I guess we got to love that place to stay there the way things are, I suppose. I mean, you must really be in love with California. California to ban the sale of new gasoline cars. California Thursday is expected to put into effect a sweeping plan to prohibit the sale of new gasoline-powered cars by 2035, a groundbreaking move that could have major effects on their effort to fight climate change and accelerate a global transition toward electric vehicles. This is huge, says Marco OG, an electric vehicles expert who headed the Environmental Protection Agency's Transportation Emissions Program under President Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. California will now be the only government in the world that mandates zero-emission vehicles. It is unique. I watched a short video, a guy let your car run out of steam, quit. A guy saw him walk up the road with a gas can in his hand towards his electric car. And the guy said, why are you doing that? What are you going to do with this? And he opened up the trunk. He had a small Honda generator in the back. He fired up the generator and put the plug into the car and said, in about 20 minutes, we can drive out of here. Then we stop at a gas station. I'm sure he meant charging station. I'm sure he did. But do you have to carry a generator in your car and a gas can full of gas to make sure that your solar power is going to get you where you're going? And, folks, they're not going to produce enough solar, enough electricity to produce solar, by solar to make it work, or wind. To make these charging stations work, you're going to have to burn natural gas or other fossil fuels to keep these things charged. Wow, what a tangled web we have allowed to be weaved all around us. The IRS launches state to review after right-wing threats. Now, I'll read this and I'll make a couple comments. The Internal Revenue Service will launch a full security review of its facilities nationwide, Commissioner Charles Riddick announced Tuesday, as congressional Republicans and far-right extremists are lashing out at the agency and the new funding it is slated to receive in a massive spending law. We see what's out there in the terms of social media. Our workforce is concerned about their safety, Riddick told the Washington Post in an interview. The comments being made are extremely disrespectful to the agency, to the employees, and to the country. Let me make a comment here. The comments being made are extremely disrespectful to the agency, to employees, and to the country. I don't think it's to the country, my friend. To the agency, the agency deserves no respect. It's been turned into the Gestapo. The U.S. has got the Gestapo. Going to have 87,000 more agents swarming into the towns and cities and homes of people to steal their, eat up their substance and steal their livelihoods. That's what's going to happen. In a letter to employees sent Tuesday, he wrote that the agency would conduct risk assessments for each of the IRS's 600 facilities and evaluate whether to increase security patrols along building exteriors, boost designations for the restricted areas, examine security around the entrances and access exterior lighting. It will be the agency's first such review since 1985 bombing of the Alfred P. Mayer building in Oklahoma City, which killed 168 people. Which has proved beyond a shadow of a doubt to be an inside job. But that's beside the point. We have again, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to try to beat it, and if everybody's had enough to understand this, the IRS is not a government agency. It's a private collection agency, or mafia, if you will, for the Federal Reserve, which is not a government agency, but a conglomerate of private bankers ripping you off to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. The IRS has no authority, although they're given guns. They have no lawful authority, constitutionally or even morally, not even biblically. But the people don't know that, so they cower in the corner and hope there's not a knock on their door. I don't want to see violence erupt, folks. But the IRS deserves no respect, and I give it none. Zilch. Zip. Nada. Russia moving away from the toxic dollar, euro, and SWIFT. Russia says it will move away from the dollar, euro, and SWIFT in commercial, economic, and investment relations with partners as the currencies have become toxic, Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Pankin said. The move is aimed at strengthening Russia's independence and reducing its reliance on the outside world, as the country has been hit hard by sanctions from the United States and the European Union ever since operation began in Ukraine on February 24. Russia's ruble strengthened to a near four-week high against the dollar and euro on Friday. Against the growing geopolitical pressure for the collective West, the only way to guarantee stable trade, economic investment ties between Russia and its partners is to avoid the use of currencies that have become toxic, primarily the U.S. dollar and the euro, and switch to settlements in acceptable alternatives, primarily in national currencies, Pankin said in an interview with TASS. He said the current global financial system built by Washington has proven to be unsuitable for the conditions of a multipolar world order and has essentially become an instrument for achieving political goals of one group of countries. And that is true. That is very true. I said this before, I'll say it again. Trying to sanction Russia was a stupid move because they're way too big for us to hurt them. And that's all there is to it. China extends power cuts on menacing drought as lithium, metals, solar, and rice at risk. Sichuan's worst drought in over a half century forced Chinese province to extend power cuts for industrial plants. Power rationing are essential to ease the electricity demand due to a menacing heat wave and limited rainfall that is driving down the hydropower generation while cooling and demand skyrockets. The combination is dangerous in terms of grid stability and is primarily why power cuts were prolonged. Morgan Stanley analyst Simon Lee told clients Sunday that the provinces with 84 million people and a key manufacturing hub for semiconductor and solar panels is faced with the hottest of temperatures and the worst drought of the past 60 years. Folks, did you notice I said they manufacture semiconductors and solar panels? Sichuan heavily relies on the hydropower generation for 82% of its power needs. About half of the renewable energy sources have been sliced because rainfall along the Yangtze River since July has been 45% below average, the lowest since 1961. So we're saying that these curtailments in power pose the most significant risk to rice supplies, followed by aluminum and battery materials. Okay, we were told to buy solar panels. Middle class buy solar panels, finance them. We're just reading that there's going to be a shortage of them, and the material it takes to make to build the batteries are going to be also short. Guess what that means to the price of these goods you're going to try to buy when you can't afford to buy food? What do you think it means? It means tougher times, doesn't it? Of course it does. But don't worry. Let them eat cake. Oh, excuse me. Let them eat bugs. Canadian company vows to produce 9,000 tons of crickets each year for human and pet consumption. This is our natural news. A North American food company has announced plans to start churning out billions of crickets for both pets and humans to eat. Aspire Food Group, which has facilities in both the United States and Canada, just completed construction on a massive facility that is said to be the world's largest cricket production facility. I never thought I'd ever hear that. I really didn't. Wow. I hope they don't get too good because it'll all blow up and burn down like the rest of our food production has. But anyway, every year the plant will produce 9,000 metric tons of crickets for human and pet consumption. The company says that this amounts to roughly 2 billion crickets every 365 days. The company says it already has orders in place for the next 2 years, suggesting that someone has plans for large amounts of people to be eating cricket food as opposed to real food. Wales is already testing out feeding crickets to the school children, the nation of Wales. Crickets are currently being explored as a protein-rich superfood, claims Canadian manufacturing. They confirm fiber. They contain fiber and are already found in grocery stores and restaurants and have a smaller environmental footprint than traditional protein sources. Yeah. Whatever you think. I can't say it's good or bad for you. I'm not a scientist. I have heard this. There's a byproduct in insects that can make you sick. I can't comment on that. I don't have the knowledge on that. When a nation goes from eating beef and chicken and other meats for protein, has to go down to crickets. I said dropping some on the scale, wouldn't you? I think that makes perfect sense. We're dropping some on the scale of food production in order to sustain ourselves. And for you Walmart shoppers, I want you to think about this. I haven't been to Walmart in years. I don't plan to go back. Well, preacher, how come? Well, there's a lot of reasons. They were some of the first ones to embrace the homosexual and lesbian agenda. And now they took another step further, and this was, I mentioned it some months ago, a couple months ago, but now it's further confirmed. Walmart announces it will cover the cost of murder and pay for staff to travel to obtain one. The word is abortion, but I use the word murder. Walmart will pay for the murder of an unborn child with your money, Christians. Walmart told its employees on Friday that will now cover the cost of abortion, murder, and related travel expenses in cases up until the point of fetal viability. The health care plans for the largest private employer in the U.S. will now pay for murder when there is a health risk to the mother, rape or incest, ectopic pregnancy, marriage miscarriage, or lack of fetal viability. The company will also pay for the cost of travel for murder of an employee or the family and their member who is insured through Walmart cannot legally obtain the one within 100 miles of their residence. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I don't like it. I don't like what Walmart's become at all. It may have been something really good when Sam founded the whole company. It may have been something really good, but it's changed. It's changed into something that's very liberal and leaning way to the left and the evil side of it. So here you go. When you buy something at Walmart, you're now funding, perhaps, and quite probably are, somewhere in the organization, the murder of an unborn child. If that doesn't bother you, I'm sorry. I feel for you. If it does bother you, I'm glad. Do your shopping somewhere else. Buy your coffee somewhere other than Starbucks, because they're doing the same thing, only worse. I mean, folks, start taking a stand. Be responsible. And being responsible also means preparing yourself for what's coming. That's your job, take care of your family. It's not my job to take care of your family. It's your job to take care of your family. So get off the duff, get off the couch, and start thinking about the future and preparing for it. You can't make it happen by thinking about it. Get up and do it. Give Melody a call and talk to her, see what she may be able to offer you to help get through this mess in the future. At 800-375-4188. You know, the best laid plans of men and mice, you heard that, but the best laid plans of men are useless unless you put them in order and make them work. Well, I'll see you again Friday. I know Melody will be here with Dave tomorrow. Y'all have a great night. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.